The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Notice, notice, this midweek mini was recorded several months ago and may not be up to date with current events. For fresh minisode uploads with every episode, head to patreon.com/chilluminatipod.
Welcome to Minnesota 248.
That's fun. Double double.
Yeah.
That's double, fun. Double, double. Numerology. That's Crowley would be excited.
He would be. He wasn't dead.
I must stress for those watching. It's so dark here at the office now. As sun goes down, my camera is trying its hardest. This is like really kind of what it looks like.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's adjusting. Like, you're like, oh, great, dude. Yeah.
Me and Jesse are in the same area of the world.
Yep.
Like, it's not light out. It's not like that. Like, you know, it's
dark. Yeah, this looks like the window's open and it's sunny out.
Yeah, it's evening.
This is a lie.
Yeah.
This is a lie.
Send you into the light.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got for us today, boys?
I got something that I want to just jump into real quick. Because it's the dumbest story that I've heard all week. I got it from the New York Post. There is a man. His name is Craig. His mugshot is wild. I'll show you it right now. He looks kind of like
Craig.
He looks like Charles Manson, kind of. Hold on. Sorry. There you go. There's his face.
I've seen a few of those guys in a Midwestern bar before.
Yeah. Well, no, this guy's in a bar in Florida and he's in them a lot because this guy is in Pasco County. He's got 40 cases filed against him. Alleged public intoxication, criminal traffic charges, aggravated assault, all kinds of different ones. But today, we're talking about a third-degree felony charge of aggravated animal cruelty.
Oh, shit.
So prepare yourself for some outside-the-box animal cruelty here for a minute as you are listening. It's not going to be crazy, but...
What? Where is this going?
So...
Oh, no.
Nobody knows how many
out-of-the-box animal cruelty.
Nobody knows how many he's got, but... One thing that's common between Florida and California, Southern California, is that we both have crazy populations of peacocks. And peacocks are kind of beautiful birds in a way, right? Like they're famous for being beautiful, right?
The showboats of the bird world.
Yeah. So it's only natural that somebody might keep several peacocks as pets, right?
Where is this going?
I guess so.
What is this?
Yeah.
So
where is this going?
He's
dude?
Still, nobody's sure how many he has total. I've tried to find out several from several different news articles exactly how many peacocks he has. It just says, New York Post, it is not clear how many pet peacocks Vogt owns. But here's what happened is he's 61 years old, by the way. He last Tuesday went to his neighbor and put a letter in her mailbox because apparently he had a problem with the fact that his neighbor was coming along and feeding the peacocks. So this is not something that he was like enjoying. And so apparently in the letter, he said that because, quote, she continued feeding them, that I guess to teach her a lesson, I suppose, he killed two of the peacocks by, quote, cutting the peacock's neck with a knife and then cooking it in a frying pan, which he then ate. And he did it, quote, to prove a point that he will continue to kill his pet peacocks if she continues to feed them.
What?
Yeah. And I guess they've been in a verbal argument for a while about this. And so this was him kind of being like, oh yeah, you love my peacocks so much. Well, how about this? I fucking ate two of them. So if you keep feeding my fucking peacocks, I'm going to just keep killing them and eating them. So up to you, bitch. Right. So that was his logic.
I don't know if there's logic there.
This
but
guy doesn't have both his eyes open in his mugshot, by the way.
Yeah.
And he said, well, on his way to jail, he allegedly, this is from the New York Post article. This is a sentence. While being taken to jail, Vogt allegedly chillingly told police that he, quote, plans to kill all his pet peacocks to prevent anyone from taking custody of them. So I don't know what really his like feelings are on the peacocks or his connection to them or why he's keeping them other than to be cruel to them, seemingly. But dude's gone now. Dude is in jail now for a third degree felony charge of aggravated animal cruelty, which the evidence is him writing a letter saying that he did it and that he's going to do it again.
And then he told the police.
And then he told the police he was going to do it again. So dude's wrapped up. That happened this week. So, you know, when you think that you got a crazy life that nobody will believe, just remember that a man killed and ate two of his pet peacocks to stop somebody who cared about them from taking care of them.
Jesus. Yeah, people, you know what? No. Florida.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. But people gone people too. Like, let's not pretend
Florida,
like,
people gone Florida people.
Florida's like a place where it's okay to be as bad as everybody is everywhere else, but just pretends not to be.
And or a pirate.
Like
you hit the keys, yeah. You're it's pirate country down there.
Oh yeah. If you want to float above the water with a big fan at your back, that's where you want to go.
That's the place.
Yeah. I guess you could go to Louisiana too, but that's I like Louisiana more.
I have a tale for you, gentlemen.
Give me this tale
about the future of at least right now, the Air Force here in America.
Okay, cool.
Does this involve a really, really alcoholic guy taking a bunch of people into a room?
It does not.
Oh, okay.
It does not. No, this is actually potentially worse and or better. I don't know. Depends on how you look at it. At the Shadow Operations Center.
Shouldn't know about that, probably.
Yeah. Basically, it's the 805th Combat Training Squadron, but it's also known as Shadow Operations. The Air Force recently conducted a series of AI algorithm generated attack plan experiments. And essentially they were trying to figure out, like, could AI do this? What's the deal? I'm sure some dude somewhere talked them into this and sold them on the concept. That's usually the way it works. And so the challenge was, called Dash 2, which was this AI program that was going to come up with a set of COAs, which are courses of action, for how to strike a given set of targets with a given set of aircraft and a given set of weapons. And as Major General Robert Claude explains, the whole system is kind of them trying to figure out what they can do with AI. The test that they came up with shows that the AI generated 1.25 COAs every second, while a human can generate one every 5.3 minutes, which is huge. However, and I found this to be the interesting thing I want to talk about, even though it is significantly faster, the Dash 2, which I guess they had a Dash 1 at one point, which was pretty interesting. But basically, they were very, very fast, but they made some errors. And while he didn't go into details, he did say the errors were not blatant, but very subtle. More along the lines of failing to factor in the right kind of sensor or specific weather conditions.
Like
rather than
real mistakes, like brain mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, rather than things like, you know, sending a tank on an air mission, it wouldn't do that. But it would create problems that a human with more expertise would pick up on. And so the lesson Claude took away from this was what's going to be important going forward while we're getting faster results and we're getting more results from the AI, there's still going to have to be a human in the loop for the foreseeable future to go through and make decisions. Yeah. And my whole time reading this was like, then why are we moving to AI if a human has to come in? That'd be like if Mathis edited an episode of Chilluminati, and then I had to go back in and re-edit the whole episode.
All right, Jesse, I worked for like 2 months on this. Here you go.
And then I had to do it again. Like, yeah. See, like that seems like such a time waster. The whole point of the AI is supposed to do it. And so if it can't do it, then like, why would we even consider like, well, all right, for the foreseeable future, we'll just have a guy go through it all again. Like what? That seems
because
if you have people who are on the ground who like no information and they have all the knowledge, know-how, it seems safer to go with human intuition than like, you know, the shaking head of Doctor Strange coming up with 14
like,
million.
Wouldn't you just want an expert? Like, wouldn't you just want like a trained expert who doesn't?
You
mess
would
up?
Think. You would think.
And like that's the thing, right? Like, their hope probably is that eventually they'll not need people anymore, and that as they get trained, they'll learn on their own. And I that's where I think like the real scary thing is going to be when quantum computing chips are a real thing. And we start putting AI on those things because quantum computing can compute at things and uses a level of scalability that is equal to more than known particles in the known universe, which is why it can a quantum computer can build multiple models of multiple universes at any given time, which actually dovetails nicely into what I wanted to talk about. But is there anything else? Like, I don't know. Like,
I mean, the last thing that's said on this that is from the Major General is him basically saying like, look, if we're going to pursue this, we have to do it for real. And it's got to be a longer than like a 2-week coding period where we test stuff.
Yeah.
Which is true. Again, like that's one of those steps where, all right, now the robots are deciding what we do.
It's already, but like, this is the thing with AI in which why it's both really funny, especially with Grok AI, when it constantly is pushed rightward and always ends up back on the left because of just like facts in the world, is that like, the people who develop these things don't understand how they work by design. Sure. It's called black box. They develop the algorithm, the base learning algorithm, how this thing will learn, turn it on, and then whatever neural pathways it builds for whatever reasons are invisible to it. So it's just like,
sure.
Is it not like, that's why I think the real,
No, there's a really great video that I just saw the other day where it's this guy interacting with one of the chat bots doing the vocal chat thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he keeps talking to it. And the more he talks to it, the more it kind of like adds its own flavor. Like it'll stutter mm-hmm. over itself, or it will take a deep breath and sigh. And he will just ask, like, why did you do that? And the chatbot's like, well, my programmers thought it would, you know, like that kind of thing. He's like, cool. But like, why in that moment did you decide to pause, take a deep breath, and then continue talking? What was that about?
Yeah.
And it's that kind of thing where, it's what the programmers put into it. And then the AI is like, what do I do with this information? And it tries to figure out how to use it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it comes out in weird ways where you have to be like, wait, but what were you doing there? Why did you stutter? You didn't need to stutter. Why did you choose that? And the AI will be like, you know, I'm having a hard time coming up with an answer. It's like,
you're like, okay.
That's weird.
Yes, it's weird. It's so weird, dude. And
let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Going into my article, like, I truly think AI, when we have access to quantum computer chips, is where we're going to see shit get really scary. And 5 days ago, on September 26th, a London-based startup has created the world's first full-stack quantum computer using, and this is one of the things that quantum computer chips have had a hard time with, they were able to use a standard silicon CMOS chip fabrication process. Up to this point, creating a quantum computer has required special metal,
Microsoft, special, like magic. All
this stuff. That Microsoft future tech. Yeah.
Exactly. So this is a UK startup has created the first world's silicon-based computer, quantum computer manufactured using the same transistor technology found in nearly all modern digital electronics. The machine is built using the complementary metal oxide semiconductor fabrication process, the same used to create the chips for devices like smartphones, laptops, and digital cameras. And the technology is so widely used because it produces chips that don't draw power when idle. Its integration in a quantum computer paves the way for a broad adoption and less expensive manufacturing process. Another important element of the machine built by the company Quantum Motion is its relatively small footprint. The machine can be hosted in just 3 19-inch server racks, including the dilution refrigerator to keep it cool and integrated control electronics to manipulate the qubits and produce the extremely low temperatures required to maintain their fragile quantum states. The system combines a quantum processing unit, a QPU instead of a CPU, with a user interface and industry-standard control software, the specialized layer that acts as the interpreter between a high-level quantum program, the algorithm, and the physical quantum hardware, the qubits, such as Qiskit and Circ, are there to provide a complete quantum computing platform. It uses spin qubits, a type of qubit that encodes quantum information in the spin, intrinsic angular momentum, of an elementary particle, most commonly a single electron. It's also highly scalable. Quantum Motion
that
represents...
Sounds like Fantastic Four shit. That sounds made
Have you
up.
Seen the image of this thing,
yeah,
Alex?
Yeah. It looks like a future thing.
No.
The server room is like, hold on, I'll send this to you. It looks like it is from a different world.
Yeah, basically the QPU itself is based on tile architecture, a modular design approach where a processor or a system on a chip is built from smaller self-contained specialized units called tiles or chiplets. The QPU condenses the necessary compute, readout, and control elements into a single dense array that can be deployed repeatedly on a single chip. This means that future iterations of the QPU, the physical hardware where quantum computation happens, can be upgraded to include millions of qubits, representatives said, and the system could allow future versions of the company's QPU to be easily swapped in for existing processors.
Crazy.
Which is crazy because it's going to be able to compute things we can't even comprehend right now.
And you could just put it in a fucking 4080.
This is the silicon moment for CPUs that CPUs finally had. Like, this is what was stopping them from being reproducible and stable and like really hard to like maintain. Having a silicon production where they're able to do it means it's like going to be huge. And they also show that the computer builds on research undertaken by Quantum Motion in conjunction with the University College London to create a more fault tolerant systems. That research demonstrated 98% accuracy in 2-qubit gates, the fundamental building block for a quantum circuit. Because remember, the big problem with quantum computers is their errors are usually higher. And fault tolerance needs to be high like that. So
this is crazy.
If you go to their website, quantummotion.com/product, and scroll down, there's a video of them like assembling it and putting it, but more importantly, they've put it next to other server racks. It literally looks like a Star Trek prop.
Yeah, it's bigger a lot than I thought it was from the first picture saw, it looks like
it's manageably big, right?
Like, it looks like it's from the Enterprise. Like, it looks it should be
absolutely bonkers looking.
Yeah. This is 5 days ago, this breakthrough.
This is like 2.0 computers in big rooms for a little while.
Yes. I think that's what it's going to be like for a hot minute. But the first actively usable quantum computer, dude, I don't think people realize the answers it's going to give us. It literally uses multiple simultaneous states. Like, it quantum shit is just weird, man. That's all I can
Yo,
say.
But imagine it running Counter-Strike, though, dude.
Dude, it could run Counter-Strike and also 9,000.
Like,
for every shot you take, it plans 85 million trajectories.
It tells the story of all the nations involved in some fake war each time.
This is going to create real life incursion events in our reality. Like,
honestly, the one thing I love the most about this is they went for it on like a future tech level, where it's this weird looking thing that then also lights up. It looks like it would talk to you on the bridge of the Enterprise.
It's
now, I don't know how you would do this, but imagine putting an AI LLM on a quantum processor.
Done. We're over. That's it. That's how we end.
That feels. Yeah, that feels like that would be the
I
end.
Don't even know what it would be like. I don't even know.
Once you have a super. That's the thing. We can't, as a humanity, imagine what a super intelligence would do. It could destroy us immediately. It could do any number of things. That's the point. It's a super intelligence. It thinks beyond humanity. It knows answers to things that we might not even know are questions, because it can compute with a level that is beyond the countable fucking electrons in the known universe. Like,
but what if we can teach it love? Then you know what? We're that's safe. True. I've seen Fifth Element. I know how it works.
If it has 300 qubits, it then has the processing power of something more than the countable known things in the universe, and like that's all 300, because they exist in every possible state and every combination, and they possibly combine with each other. All you need is 300, and it's doing computations that should not be possible within our own reality based on the physical reality of how many electrons exist in our universe. But it will be able to do that. What does that mean? Will that break reality? Like, what will that do? How, like, what is that? It's insane.
I don't actually, that's why I'm sure they know, but I don't know.
No, that's the thing. It's like, I've been reading interviews about this thing, and the thing scientists don't know. They don't know what that moment will be like, but they know it'll be really good. It's like, but they don't know what that means, because it's not possible.
Good for who is the question.
Like, they're literally saying, like, it's impossible for us to conceive what that will be like, because it will be of an intelligence level beyond humanity. Like,
yeah,
I'm scared of shit, dude. I'm so scared. This is why the aliens are here, man. They're watching us and waiting for us to take AI and birth a general AI. And that's why we're here.
We shouldn't do this.
I know. We shouldn't, like, but it's
we're the people in charge of the most powerful country in the world are like the dumbest motherfuckers alive right now. This is not, and they're putting it everywhere.
That's the AI, and then because this is just like a private company, startup company that did this.
I know.
So you combine them.
They're already putting AI everywhere.
Oh yeah, we can't get away from it.
My Word document
has a copilot that is like, you want to like any questions about your document? I'm like, no, man. Just let me write.
Yeah,
leave me alone.
And when that connects to a quantum processor,
it's done, dude.
It's like over.
Because then what? Because you cannot imagine what that means. It's impossible to. Fuck. Well, we'll get to live to see it, though, boys. That's exciting.
I hope so.
I always wanted to be the guy on the beach when the tidal wave comes in those movies.
I want to be Jerry Garcia or whoever it is grabbing my margaritas in Jurassic World. Was it Jerry Garcia? I don't remember who it was.
It was
fucking Margaritaville, right? Jimmy Buffett?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was in fucking Jurassic World. You're right.
Jerry Garcia's like long dead.
Yeah. And so is Jimmy Buffett now.
Not that long.
Well, true. Not that long. Well, I don't know. I mean, we don't have a choice. This is going to happen. And it's happening very quickly still, even though the world's in chaos. And so I'm very curious when the first quantum computer is being used and what that means and what it'll do, what they'll have it answer. I don't know, man. I don't know. But keep up on it, everybody. It's important. This shit's going to change our reality as we know it, as it keeps going. And whether you think AI is dumb or not, we don't have a choice. It's everywhere. So anyway, thank you all so much for watching. If I hope you became a little bit of Aleister Crowley. Take a little Aleister Crowley with you. Rebel against the machine no matter what it is, you know?
But like only a little bit of Aleister Crowley. Don't take a lot. A lot is too much.
Just read the Invisibles.
Invisibles are great. It's very, very good. All right, we're out of here. Thank you guys so much for your support here at Patreon. We appreciate you. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.